even despite the epidemic or the flu season that's hit so hard in our area. It's good to see you here. I've got to tell on someone. After the class, before the lesson, Russell Fox came up to me and mentioned something, and I'm not sure which one it was, but one of his grandchildren, and this demonstrates that they're listening. Not only are they listening here, they are listening to what's taking place in our country. I was asking the question, was talking about the restoration of Israel, was talking about the rebuilding of the temple and rebuilding of the wall, and I asked in the class, who was it that was going to build the wall? And Russell heard Trump. That was good. That was good. That wall didn't matter nowhere near the wall of Jerusalem. All right. Oh, that's so good. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. I want to ask you a question. Start a lesson about asking a question. What is it that we possess? What is it that we possess before we are born? What is it that we possess while we live on this earth? And what is it that we possess after we die? And it is not our soul that I'm referring to. Not our soul that I'm referring to. What is it that we possess before we are born? Okay. What is it that we possess through life and then after we have left this earth? What is it? You can even answer. I'm not going to chastise if you were to say it. The answer is influence. We all have influence. From the oldest person in here in the building this morning to the youngest person here in the building this morning, everyone has influence. Oh, it's very important. But let's ask ourselves the question, what is influence? What is influence? Think about it. If you really think about it, influence is power. Think about that. Influence is power. Let me tell you, it would take a lot of power to make me act like a monkey, would it not? But guess what? My wife is shaking her head no. Let me tell you, it would take a lot of power for me to act like a monster and run around the house and play hide and seek. Wouldn't you think that would take a lot of power to force me to do something like that? And to get wild and crazy and jump on the bed and toss and turn and act like a knucklehead, that would take a lot of power. A lot of you kind of know my personality. There's someone in our midst that has a lot of power. I'm not talking about my wife either. It's these little ones that come along. Oh, they have a lot of power. A lot of influence. Let me tell you, they have a lot of power and have a lot of influence before they ever get here. Think about it. Our house was turned upside down with just the advent of a grandchild. You would probably say that 10 children live at my home. Someone has had the power to convert my house, my castle, into a nursery. We've got toys scattered from one end of that place to another. We've got a whole room dedicated to toys. Someone's got some power in our house, do they not? Our families, our children, they have power. More of a technical definition about influence, what influence is. It is a moral or spiritual force or power or capacity by which one has an effect upon another. I can remember one night it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Three of us, me and Terry and Chris, are standing there trying to smooth the little baby that was hollering his lungs out. A lot of power to get me out of bed in the middle of the night. And you likewise. But there's a lot of capacity in others that we have. Each of us has this ability, this power to influence others or situations or developments in life. We're here as a result of the influence of others. Let's think about that. Did Christ speak about influence? He did. He used metaphors as he referred to this. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about and refers to and addresses our influence or the power that we have to have an impact upon other individuals. We've all got that power. But look at me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 13. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore, as thenceforth, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Does salt have influence? Someone says, well, I don't know. Does salt have power? Say, yes. You ever picked up the salt shaker and the whole top come off or something like that, and then you tried to eat it? It's got power to stop you from eating, doesn't it? And it's got power to help you to eat too, doesn't it? Oh, it can change the flavor. It can influence the taste. You know, salt is a very, very important mineral that we have to have. It's been said that there were a large number of Napoleon's soldiers that died as a result of having no salt in their diet. As a matter of fact, the word salary actually is a derivative of the term that has to do with something like salt. I forget how the etymology of that all fits together, but salary. You know, during the period of the Roman Empire, some of the Roman soldiers were paid with salt. It was a very, very important commodity, very important. Salt has power. Salt has influence. Christ here uses this as a metaphor concerning the children of God. We have power. We have influence. We impact others. One of the greatest influences that salt has, it has a preserving type of power, does it not? Now, I've never cured a country ham, but I bet there's folks in here that has done that in the past. Okay? Matter of fact, I had an aunt and uncle that had a potato house that had salt troughs in there, and we could still see the impression of those hams in there. Salt is used to preserve. We Christians, the children of God, are the salt of the earth. There's a spiritual application there. We are a preserving factor. We are a preserving element to help preserve the world from loss, from destruction. Now, it goes on to say, if the salt has lost its influence, what's it good for? It's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. And here's another thought. Here's another thought. When you think about salt, salt operates at its own expense. Think about that for just a moment. Salt operates at its own expense. It dissolves. It permeates into whatever it touches. It no longer actually exists in the form that it is. It changes its form, its nature. But it has that impact, but at its own cost. There's a spiritual application there. If we're the salt of the earth, are we going at our own expense? Are we doing, working, striving today at our own expense? Are we sacrificial in our Christian life? That's the idea or the thought intended there. Verse 14. Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 5. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. A city has great influence. Light has influence. It shows us the way. It enlightens us. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Let your influence go forward. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let your influence shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christ used those metaphors, salt and light. He also used leaven. We know what that is. I'm not a baker nor the son of a baker or even kin to a baker. Don't even know one. We actually had to get our pumpkin rolls out of the freezer. They're already made up. Anyway, leaven at the whole lump, we're taught from the Scriptures. We're talking about the leavening of the Pharisees. In other words, that infiltration that the Pharisees, whenever they come in, bring their false teachings and their false ways and concepts, that they could corrupt the entire body of God or the people of God. And it is that Jesus talks about the leavening influence of the Pharisees upon the people of God. So there he uses another metaphor. You know, the Bible is full of examples. There's a number of examples of individuals being influenced. And our influence is, we have it one way or the other, whether we want to or we not. Now, it's for either for good or it is for the worse. It is for good or for bad. We're going to influence somebody, everybody we come in contact. Each of us has influence on everyone we come in contact. Let me repeat that. Each of us has influence on everyone we come in contact with. You can't avoid it. Now, it's either for one of two. There's no middle ground. It's either for good or it is for bad. That is our influence, and that's our choice. That's your choice. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. We're going to talk about a great individual that had a lot of power. Probably one of the most powerful individuals that has ever lived on the face of the earth. And let me tell you, with all of his power, with all of his glory, with all of his might, he became powerless from the influence of others. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. We're talking about influence now. We're going to look at an example here, and we're going to determine, was it a good influence or was it a bad influence? And we need to put this disclaimer, too. We are influenced by everyone we come in contact with. You influence everyone, and everyone influences you one way or the other. Let's look at a great example here. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, six different nations there, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. They will influence you for the worst. God told Israel, when you go into the promised land, you exterminate all these people. You're not to take them for your wives or give them to your children for their spouses because they will turn your hearts away from God. Well, this is some of the aftermath of all of that. Solomon clave unto these in love. He was influenced. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Good or bad influence? A bad influence. For the worse. For the worse. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and would not fully turn after the Lord, as did his father. And he then did Solomon build a high place to Chemosh, the abomination of the Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him thrice. He goes on to say, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. I'm going to rend the kingdom from you, and I'm going to rend it in parts. Well, as we're thinking about the topic of influence, we can see here that one of the strongest men, one of the had all of the power that he needed in life, in the world, was greatly influenced by his wives, and for the worst. And here's the question. Did his influence have an impact upon Israel? Oh, it did. Oh, it did. He influenced many there that engaged in idolatry like he did. Well, that's just one example. We can go to another example. Go to chapter 16 as we're talking about good influence and bad influence, trying to find some biblical examples of that. Look at me, if you would, in chapter 16, and we'll begin in verses 25 and following. 16, 25 and following. I'm almost there. But Omri wrought evil. This is one of the kings of Israel. We'll just read this very quickly. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. See that? He made Israel to sin. He influenced Israel for the worse. We've all got influence. We're influenced by others we come in contact with. And they likewise influence us, as we see in Solomon. To provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. It goes on to talk about in verse 28. So Omri slept with his father. In other words, he died and he was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. We know the story about Ahab and Jezebel, some of the most wicked individuals that had existed on the face of the earth, and how it was that they built temples and groves and all of this pagan and idolatry worship took place under their reign, under their power, under their influence. So there's your two quick examples, or more than that actually, of examples of bad influence, leading a nation or being influenced to lead a nation by those that were about us. So there's an example of bad influence. And don't think it can't happen to us. Let's don't think that, well, that won't happen to me. Look at me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. You're fooled if you don't think that you can be influenced for the worse. Be not deceived. Evil, the King James Version says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Other versions say, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Don't be fooled. An inspired man of God, the Apostle Paul, knew that and understood that the Holy Spirit teaches us that. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 18. And there we read, wisdom, that's what we use to influence others. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Think about that. Wisdom, we can use our wisdom to influence, and that's stronger than any type of military might or power. But now look at the latter part of that verse. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Through their influence, through their power. Well, we can talk about the 10 tribes. Remember their story, their evil report, how that they influenced evil upon the people. The people murmured as a result of that. They swayed the people. And another 40 years of wilderness wandering took place as a result of their influence when they're attempting to spy out the promised land. But let's look at an example of good influence in the Bible. Look at me, if you would, to the book of Esther. Let's go to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. We're probably familiar with this. Hopefully you are, but we'll read just a little bit about it. In Esther chapter 4. Now, we're talking about influence. We've looked at some examples, biblical examples of bad influence and how that it destroys lives and destroys souls. Now, let's look at a good example of influence. Let's look at Esther. In Esther chapter 4, and in beginning in verse 4. So Esther made her chamberlain come and told her. They came to her and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. What had happened here? There was a national decree by Haman to destroy the Jews. Okay, Esther was a queen of Persia. She was married to the king. Okay, but they were very much limited. They couldn't just run into the throne room in Shushan and say, hey, you got to get this fixed. They couldn't do that. They had to be invited in. They had to be on the schedule. All right? Well, she's told about this plan that was taking place by Mordecai, her uncle. And there's some discussion that goes back and forth between Esther and her uncle about this evil plan, this evil plot to destroy Israel. And her uncle Mordecai basically says, here's what you need to do, Esther. And she was a queen, but she was really just a figurehead type of queen. She had no real power except for her influence over her king, her husband king. Well, Mordecai tells her, you need to go in and you need to do something to help us to avert this disaster. There was a decree written and signed by the king that all of the Jews were going to be destroyed as a result of that decree. And so their only hope lied in one individual, and that was Esther. And her uncle prompts her to go into the king and say, something needs to be done. I'm a Jew. We need to protect our people. Well, here it is. The story is that she can't just run into the throne room, as we mentioned, and say, I need your help. My people are going to be destroyed. She has to be invited. And the king can either put his scepter to her, in other words, allow her, give her authority to be there and to talk and to speak in front of the throne of the king. Or if he did not, she would be killed as a result of her intrusion into those affairs. And here's the result of that. Here's the result. Go down to verse 13. Then let's go to verse 12. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not. Here's what we want to look at, folks. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You're not going to make it. If they come and kill all the Jews, they're going to get you too. You can't hide in the king's palace. You're going to be killed too if this goes through. Verse 14. For if thou, this is Mordecai talking to Esther, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is a good story about the providence of God. But it's also a good story about the influence that one individual can have over the entire welfare of a nation. One individual. Here's her response, verse 16. Mordecai puts the pressure on her. She's to go in and try to save the day. Here's what she says. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights. And I and my maidens will fast likewise. So now here it is. So I will go in unto the king, unannounced, uninvited, which is not according to the law. She's putting her life on the line. And if I perish, I perish. The rest of the story is her efforts were successful. She used her influence for good and saved the nation of Israel. One individual using what little bit of power, what little bit of influence that they have. You know, there's those two kinds of influence. We're either going to have one or the other. In Matthew chapter 12, Christ says, he that is not with me is what? Against me. We've got to think about our power to influence others. We're born with it. We can't lose it. Let me tell you, when you start thinking about influence, all of us, there's a simple, and it's not original with me, there's a simple sentence here. We are either a blessing on others, the lives of others, or we are a blot on the lives of others. But we are never, remember this, if you don't remember anything, but we are never a blank. Think about that. You're either a blessing or a blot, but there's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. Our influence, we have to guard it. We have to protect it in all walks of life. Starting from the very top, from the elders, even to the deacons, even to every member, the preacher, even to our wives, our families, our children, we all have to protect and guard our influence for the right. And we have to be on guard that we are not influenced for the wrong. The reason we're here to be is to be influenced for the good. But life happens. Life happens, and sometimes others can influence us. Events can influence us for the worse. And it might be that that influence that's exercised upon us can cause us to be led astray. There's great examples. We went through several of them. The question is, what is influencing you this morning? Have you been influenced for the good, or are you influenced for the worse? Through the last week, in the past, where are you today? Do you have a covenant relationship with your God, or are you at enmity with your God? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, now is the time. If you understand these words, it's time to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let the gospel influence your life. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into that body of Christ. Allow God's Word to have the good influence, the saving influence upon you. Then you can be the light of the world. But if your light has not shined as it should, if you've lost your savor, that saving salt, savor, we ask that you come and make that right as we stand and as we sing.